Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. I am your host, Chris Seveny, and today I'm going to talk follow up from a presentation I gave about a month ago on a great event called Cashflow Expo. And today I'm going to talk about how to lose money in note investing. And a lot of these tips that I'm providing people today can be used throughout any type of investing strategy. It'll focus on note investing. But like I said, when we talk about due diligence, this can relate to any type of investing that you do. So this isn't strictly just for investors. This could be correlated across multifamily investors, short-term rental investors, you name it. This is information that I think is pertinent. And this is also going to be from my experiences that I have had in the past and things that I've seen. I've been in real estate for over 25 years. So I've made a lot of mistakes. I've seen a lot of mistakes being made. So this is just overall from my wisdom. And when you start with types of mistakes that I see the most frequently, they come from two different avenues: education and stubbornness. And typically the stubbornness is that people don't want to be educated or ask for help. But let's talk about those, and we'll talk about other aspects of investing as well. One of the things I want to start with reiterating to people is that when you're starting any type of investing in today's world, with all the information that is available on the internet, especially if you're going to be a passive investor as well, you need to be an internet sleuth, because that information that is readily available will let you quickly and easily be able to learn more about the person you're dealing with and the people involved. And that is one of the biggest things people need to understand right out of the get-go, is who am I teaming with and who am I doing business with? Now, and if you set it up and you're with the wrong people from the start, that can have a significant impact on your business. Give you a case in point, when I started out in note investing, the education I got from an individual, comes to find out that individual, I'll say, took a wrong turn and was doing deals and had a significant number of judgments against them to the tune of over $1.5 million. When I heard that and heard the stories and what was going on, I immediately disassociated with that investor. And, I see people today associating with that individual. If you're somebody who's going out there and trying to raise money from an investor, you want to be associated with people who have judgments against them because they never pay people back? Of course not. And A, you don't want to be associated with them, but B, the affiliation or anything is just, that is so completely wrong. Stuff like that just honestly just blows my mind. But another thing people need to understand is, your education or anything you do isn't taught overnight. Now, you don't go to college for a weekend or a month. I'm going to nerd out a little bit here and talk about, my degree was in civil engineering. So I went and learned a lot about, concrete structural engineering. But after taking a concrete class, I knew a lot about concrete, but it doesn't mean I could go design a foundation or a building. When you get this education, it's a good solid foundation, but you want to continue to gain more education, but you're far from being a master or just getting started as part of your journey. So for people getting started, just remember that you get all hyped up by, seeing something new and excited about it, but there's still so much more that needs to be learned. You're just really just scratching the surface. So those are some of the main things that getting started that people have. The other area where I see people making mistakes is the F word. Not the F word you're thinking of, but FOMO. Real estate investing, there's so much FOMO out there. Two, 3 years ago, short-term rentals. Now people were like, oh my God, short-term rental, I got to have one. How are the people who bought towards the middle or the end of that run doing? Who bought in 22 and 23? You don't know, I'll tell you, most of them are getting crushed. know, multifamily syndications. Multifamily syndications from pre-2020, probably still doing okay. But everybody needs to be a multifamily investor because you're just seeing everyone else doing it. Every day, I'm seeing another multifamily syndicator basically handing over the keys or going under, and investors now are getting upset. And they should, but in the same token, they weren't complaining when they're getting the 18, 20% return and understanding that there is that risk of losing everything. And people need to understand, you know, not only the FOMO, but also kind of rolling into the risk involved. The higher the return, typically the higher the risk. I had someone recently send me something about how business is providing loans, and I couldn't really understand what they're doing, but they're providing loans and providing annualized 40% returns to investors, 10% per quarter. I'm sitting here just scratching my head because I have never seen any business ever be able to operate on 40% margins to its investors and still make money consistently over a period of time. Now, does it happen in a specific year or maybe a few years? Yes, but is that a sustainable model? Certain, you know, niche businesses maybe, but being in the lending side, I don't know any type of lending that can produce that type of return without having incredible, incredible risk. So people get excited. That's okay. I'm always excited. You can't tell by my voice, but don't just run into something because you feel like it's the next big thing. And that's where I see a lot of people making mistakes too, is they'll go spend $5,000 on one thing, try it out. And they're like, this doesn't work, or this isn't easy. I can tell you, whoever's listening to this, no matter what it is you're going to do, it's not going to be easy, especially if you're not going to be passive. Even being passive, doing due diligence is not easy. We talked a little bit earlier about kind of being that internet sleuth and understanding who you want to affiliate yourself with. And as part of, you know, now I'll talk a little bit about note investing, but this also, again, if you're being active now in any type of real estate, you know, putting that team together and understanding most real estate people need a realtor. We need a realtor. In mortgage note investing, you need a servicing company. Now, understand that servicing company and what they do and will not do for you. Also understand the costs, because 99% of note investors will only look at, they charge me $20 a month for servicing. They don't look at, escrow is this much. I need this type of letter, that type of letter. I need this, I need that. Next thing you know, you look at the end of the year and it's like, this averaged $75 a month. And that can have significant impact on your returns. And then also, if it goes delinquent, which we play in that delinquent space, what does that special servicer do for you? Certain ones don't really do much. And then the borrower calls in and guess who gets the phone call? You might get that phone call. An area where I see a lot of people make mistakes is in their legal representation and just hiring an attorney that does not fit their model. So finding an attorney is like any other type of individual that you need to find. They need to be specific to your needs. You know, if you are a landlord, you need somebody who can do evictions. If you're a note investor, you need somebody who can do foreclosures and evictions. You don't need an attorney who does title and closing. Maybe if you do seller financing, you do. But also, if you're a smaller firm, you don't need a big, you know, call it foreclosure mill that they're processing thousands a month for the large institutions, because you're just a number. You're not going to get the information where you pick up the phone and call somebody and try and get an answer from them. You'll probably get pushed down the line. So understanding who you want to work with, because if you select the wrong team, that can have significant impact and cause you to lose considerable money. Give an example situation I have, and it's an attorney, the only attorney I fired, and I fired them twice actually, that overcharged. I believe they overcharged me, and you literally had to hold their hand. Hey, did this get filed? Oh yeah, that was filed. Well, I don't see it. Next day, it pops up as appeared it was filed. You know, so A, they're lying to me flat out. I'm just going to call them out on that and charge you for every little thing. They make a mistake, they still charge you for it. So that's something that people need to understand. They can cost you considerable money. Now, one of the things I'll mention is that can happen, but also as an investor, it's a business. You're not friends with these people. So don't feel bad, you know, if you have to fire them or they're screwing up and charging you, like, I'll just pay it. No, push back. No, this is a business. You can't treat it like friends and family and basically like, maybe next time around, they'll do me a favor. No, they won't. Trust me, they won't. So understand that, separate business from pleasure. And when somebody's doing something wrong, calm out, work out the issue, figure out if there's something you can do to get it resolved, but make sure you have the, you know, the business acumen to push back and move in different directions. Let's shift topics a little bit and trying to just walk through some ways. So far we talked about, you know, education, fear of missing out, talked about kind of putting your team together. You know, an area, again, people make a ton of mistakes, financial projections, and not understanding the risk involved with those projections, which I will call sensitivity analysis. People will get tunnel vision or blinders on and basically, oh, okay, I can get this at this price. And examples I've shared in the past are, we will not buy loans typically that originated during COVID because those rates are going to be between 3% and 4%. And those loans currently today are only a year behind. So people are thinking, oh man, this $200,000 loan that somebody refinanced on a $800,000 house, I'm going to foreclose, I'm going to get paid off. No, this is going to be awesome. What are the chances that borrower is actually going to let you foreclose? I can tell you, it's zero. Not even 0.1%. This isn't Dumb and Dumber, 0.1, so there's a chance type of thing. No, it's zero. They're going to either file bankruptcy or delay. And that's the reality, is what they're going to do. They're not going to let you foreclose. Why? Where are they going to go to? Rent is shot up. They can't buy a house. And their mortgage payment is probably still lower than rents. What are they going to do? If they file bankruptcy, let's say they're a year behind on, you know, $200,000 loan, what's their payment? $2,000 a month? We hope you're enjoying this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. We wanted to take a moment and tell you more about our passive income fund at 7E, which is open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. Our latest offering targets an 8% annual return distributed monthly with the ability to potentially achieve a greater return through our bonus share program. If you'd like more information, reach out to us at invest@70investments.com to learn more. Thank you. So they're $24,000 behind. You're going to get an extra $400 a month for 5 years. But you just bought yourself a 3% loan. You can go put a treasury at 5%. So maybe you're making on that loan 4%. And then the person will be like, oh, it's reperforming. I can go sell this at 90 cents on the dollar because back to education, my guru told me I could sell this at 90 cents on the dollar. No, you can't because the interest rate's at 3%. Nobody's going to give you that. You're lucky if you get 70 cents on the dollar for loans that low. And that would be from an institution who's probably trying to pull about an 8% yield. So people not understanding the projections and the outcomes that are going to prevail. What would you do in that situation? You've lived in a house for 20 years, you got three kids, you're married, and you know, you're best friends with your neighbor who you're barbecuing with every weekend during the summer. You're going to the pool parties. You're going to let somebody foreclose so you can go live in an apartment? What do you think? So I'm going to dive a little bit more into some more specifics now in regards to bringing back, pulling back in everything that I kind of just talked about in regards to, you know, these ways that I've seen people lose money. And now here are the ways that I'll just say are just plain flat out, excuse me for being so blunt, but flipping stupid that I see people do and then wonder why, oh my God, I can't believe I lost money on this deal. Give an example is due diligence. Two ways people in due diligence and note investing, and this relates to, you know, using a term as well in real estate investing as well. You know, in note investing, you gotta get eyes on the property. Okay, so drive by, look at it. People don't do that. It's like buying blind. You know, it's like you buying a house without looking at it, or buying a house with even out doing an inspection on it and paying full market value for it. See, people do that as well. Then they come back and say, hey, I found out a foundation issue for $30,000. Can I go back and sue anybody? Are you gonna win? No. Here's an example. There was a pool of loans that came out probably 5 years ago now, and I bought like 80 of them. And it was about, actually originally we were going to buy about 120, but 40 of them we threw back. And one I remember vividly was, A, the house was vacant, which we typically do not like, but in the servicing comments. So when you buy notes, the conversations that the borrower has with the servicer, who's the company that collects those payments, is all documented. And in this one, they had somebody go out and said, upon inspection, there was an icicle chandelier hanging from the ceiling as the home was not winterized. Okay, asset came back on another tape and they put what the pricing was on that. The person owed like $100,000 on this property and they're selling it literally for 15 cents on the dollar. So someone's like, oh my God, I'm buying these for 15 cents on the dollar. I'm getting a killer deal. You paid $15,000 for this. This property probably wasn't, and this property also had taxes owed on it. Property wasn't worth $100 because of the taxes and everything you did. It was a knockdown. You're buying a vacant piece of land that owed taxes on it. So understanding people, go create standard operating procedures and follow them. Common sense, you're going to buy something, go look at it or send somebody to look at it. How many of you go shopping, go to the store to buy sneakers and like, oh, I want to go look at these. I want to try them on, or jeans or shirt or a car. You just willy nilly not look at it or just see a picture and order it, maybe a sweatshirt and stuff. But most people still want to try stuff on. So the other component that I'll kind of mix into play with that is the expectations on when you do go send somebody out to look at the property. Now, what is that valuation worth? I have this battle with sellers all the time. I had this one recently with a property that I really liked the property and thought it was a good asset, but you send somebody out there, it's got a hole in the roof. It's got no flooring inside the property. When you peek through the windows, literally you can see daylight through areas of the house, and they valued it at $300,000. Like, okay, the house right next door sold for $300,000, completely renovated. So when you're pulling comps, the valuation team, you know, is living in this fictitious world of, yes, this borrower who hasn't paid in 3 years is going to have a completely updated and renovated house. You can get a house where they actually even trash it out for you, and you can spend less than $1,000 or $2,500 if you take it back. To me, that's a freaking win. But understand that these properties should be valued as REO properties, not as brand new construction homes. So I see a lot of people make those mistakes as well. Last thing I'll talk about today is specific to notes is the borrower situation. And we like to use a term, we paint a three-dimensional picture of the property, the person, and the predicament. You know, like that one with the icicle chandelier. Now, in those notes, we can see what happened. I see it's a mother with five kids whose husband suddenly passed away. Really not a loan I want to deal with because it's probably not going to end in a win-win solution. Other instances, I have seen borrowers who have filed bankruptcy. I think the record is 7 times. I've also seen borrowers who have a spouse and they alternate filing back and forth. Similar to people who own real estate and have tenants who are professional tenants, there are professional borrowers who know how to game the system, who know how to milk the clock per se to not have to pay their mortgage and just keep going and going. And we've seen it where I've got one in a situation right now from one of my prior funds who's using it as a rental and has filed bankruptcy 3 times, but you know, professional borrower of collecting rent on a property, milking it. Unfortunately, what she doesn't realize is if we foreclose on this property, because it is an investment, she still has liability for any shortage on what is owed, if there is any. So that's one of the benefits of being a lender that you have in those situations. But digress a little bit there, but understanding that the situations is that one you want to get yourself into. If I'm buying a rental property that the person hasn't paid in 3 months or they're a spotty payer on a rental property, are you going to pay full price for that? Things to be careful of. Oh, one last thing that I do want to mention kind of specific to notes as well is, you know, when we talk about the person, the property, the other thing on the property is understanding the title defects. And do not pretend you're an attorney. Man, oh man, this one drives me nuts because you're going to F up. And usually you screw up to the contrary, where you think you got everything and you're missing something. And then when you think you're missing something, you actually have anything. And A, you're just pissing off the seller. But people who play attorneys, you know, this is probably one of my favorite. You know, they stay at the Holiday Inn last night. And I can't tell you how many times I see sellers who play attorney. Now, why do they play attorney? Let's go back to another mistake that people make. They are cheap. You're going to spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $100,000 on an asset, and you won't spend $100 for a title report or $250 for an attorney to review, or you want to send somebody out to take a look at the property. If you're going to be that cheap, then get out of the business. Just being frank, so many people start being cheap. So those are the main areas I see people. Now, I could go deeper dive into people trying to manage your loans who actually don't manage your loans. They think, oh, the servicer is going to manage a loan. The servicer is going to work the loan modification. Tell me what the number should be. No, that doesn't work. You need to manage your loans, and that goes back to education. But whether it's the attorneys, the servicing companies, and realize every consultant or vendor you use needs to be managed. Now, your servicer does not get paid as much as your attorney. But a lot of times your attorney may need more handholding than your servicer. It's just a reality. So those are the main ways I want to talk today about people who are getting or ways that you can significantly lose money. A lot of them are common sense. And as we wrap up, last thing I'll talk about is outside of note investing, certain things I see people doing today that I feel are going to get crushed later on down the line. So I can come back in 3 years and listen to this and pat myself on the back or just say I was wrong and I've got no consequences. So it doesn't really matter. But areas I see people really right now who are scare the hell out of me are buying overpriced properties on seller financing because they're not putting any money down. And they're like, oh, I'm not putting any money down and this person will finance it for me for an extra $30,000. They're going to find out very soon that they can't exit that deal and it's not going to cash flow and they're going to get in trouble. People who buy loans that are non-recoverable, thinking that they can recover them. People not keeping money in reserves in any asset class you invest in. Notes, real estate, you name it, you need money. You need that cash on the side. Then people who are just doing things the wrong way. I see so many people not playing by the rules that it just blows my mind. And again, every day we see more and more people, I'll say, going down either financially or being investigated because they're doing things wrong. So hope you found some information, content valuable from this episode. Happy to share more information. Please visit our website. We have webinars where we talk a lot about this, the risk involved in investing, not only as a active investor, but a passive investor. And that website is 7einvestments.com. For the webinars, you can go 7einvestment.com/webinars. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to record another episode. Catch you later. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show, share with a friend, or subscribe to the show and leave us a review.